some of this stuff, like, I'm almost speechless. Like, I can't just keep yelling about it anymore. And it's that feeling of like, ugh, God, here we go again. Right. But like, that's what it feels like. It's just a never ending cycle of like disappointment because it's, yep. And again, it, like, it's the simple, like, 1 + 1 = 2.
Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick along with Mike Spiraza. We are actually recording on September 11th. So, Mike, we're going to start a little bit with September 11th. We're going to end with Buffalo Bills talk because tonight, Monday Night Football in New Jersey to play the New York Jets. I always thought that was fun.
Yeah, we decided to record this morning in case we have a couple too many pops tonight, and we don't want to get in at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's the reason for this one.
Hopefully out of celebration. Let's not even talk about the other reason we might have a couple more than usual.
That's right. That's right.
Mike, so September 11th, 22 years ago, since the Twin Towers fell, America attacked. Couldn't stop thinking this past weekend about how united we became after that attack, mm-hmm. yet how divided we are right now under this current administration. Where were you on the day, September 11th?
I was, I believe, in third grade, and I was in school on Grand Island at the time. I remember not very much, but I do remember the school, of course, and I'm sure, you know, mm-hmm. your kids, Mike, probably dealt with this if they were in school. Everything was shut down, and you had to have your parents come pick you up. They wouldn't bus kids home. I just remember utter chaos, really, is what I remember about it. And you know, it's something I feel like we may never feel again, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. Knock on wood, we never feel that again. But it was and days after, because we had, I think, a day or two of school off after that, because I believe it was a Tuesday, and it was... It was just crazy watching that unfold on TV. And again, I was a young kid, so I didn't really understand the moment that it was, but it was wild to watch on TV. You see people jumping, you see planes continuing to hit. I mean, it was craziness.
Couldn't make sense of it. I remember, so I was a career changer a few times, and that was in the midst of a career change for me to go into teaching. And I was just about to start my fall, which would have been like basically my last of three semesters to get another master's in this time in education. And on 9/11, I had gotten invited to an interview to a nice little Catholic school out in Elma because they needed a math teacher. So, and I got this tip by a Canisius College professor. So I said, I remember calling my wife, in fact, a few days prior to that saying, hey, they need a math teacher. And she kind of eyes me up and down. And you know my wife, she's like, yeah, you could probably do that. I could help you with the lesson plans and so on. So anyway, I go for the interview on 9/11. And it's like 7:30 or so in the morning. And I ended up getting that position. So I went home. And it was funny because Michaela, my older daughter, was actually only 2.5, just going on three, or no, she had just turned 3 years old. And Maddie, my youngest, was like 8 weeks old. And I'm with my father-in-law, who has now passed, rest his soul, wonderful man, Al. He was with the baby and with Michaela. And I remember saying, hey, yeah, turns out I'm going to go out and work as a math teacher out in Elma while I'm in school for this last semester. I'll go to classes at night, you know, and we just chatted a little. I walked into the family room and I see the TV and I'm like, plane hits tower. And I'm like, that's crazy. And of course, right away, I think private plane, just, you know, small private plane. You hear of these accidents, you know, an engine failure, whatever it was. And holy cow, like, it didn't take long before you knew it was something way, way different. And it really gives me chills thinking about it now because of just the destruction, that attack, and the just the complete anger that another group would have upon us. And they unleashed that fury on us as a country. And again, then I just remember, like, President Bush. I remember someone we've talked to quite a number of times.
Mayor Giuliani.
Mayor Giuliani. Yeah, and just how prominent they became, right? Just the visions of that. And anyway, I mean, it is something, though, like I said, we were so united after that. Like, we could all agree on so many things, it seemed, especially the protection of our country. And now, Mike, you literally, you have half of the country that seems to believe that protection of our borders isn't necessary. Protection of our children really is not so much for parents to decide. It's for schools and progressives to decide. Unreal. 22 years later.
And I'll say, I mean, on that topic, look, this is why border security is so important. You do not want another 9/11 on your soil, right? I mean, that to me is one of the biggest reasons why. Now, look, of course, one of the biggest reasons why 9/11 happened was bad security with airports and airplanes. Of course, that was the thing that they've addressed, and I think they've done a very nice job addressing, mm-hmm. right? You don't see these things happening anymore. But that doesn't solve it, because people don't need to get on a plane to do that kind of destruction. There's plenty of things they can do. And then, you know, Mike, you said it. How could somebody hate us so much? Like the hate in their heart, right? But that is a lot of the world doesn't right. like America, okay? Yep. So we have to protect against that. And I can't stress that enough. People don't love America. They don't love freedom that we give our people. Now, do people living here? Sure, a lot of them do. But people across the globe, maybe not in Europe, but when you talk about the Middle East has come out and said it numerous mm-hmm. times. Look, Donald Trump took out ISIS. Do you not think there's a lot of ISIS people or former ISIS people that are still around that don't like America? Of course there are. Mm-hmm. And when you have a wide open border at the southern border, not only are drugs coming over, not only are rapists or human smugglers coming over, mm-hmm. but terrorists are coming over. We know that. It's been proven they're coming over. They've let tens and 20s and 30s of them go because they don't know who they are. That scares me, Mike.
They've been lying in wait, you know, like they had Trump, who truly, you know, he quieted so many terrorist groups thinking, oh, this might not be the time. I'll tell you what, I think a lot of those terrorist groups are now starting to think this might be the time. Mm-hmm. And God willing, that doesn't happen again. And again, anyone who was directly impacted by 9/11, I mean, so many of us were impacted. But boy, if you lost loved ones, you know, God bless you today. Again, recording here on 9/11. And, you know, I guess it brings me some hope, Mike, that, you know, we did come together as a country once or many times, we should say, but the most recent, that one, and hopefully we can do that again.
I think there's a difference, though, Mike, and I'm not trying to be pessimistic on this, but when 9/11 happened, yes, it was a terrible, tragic event that caused the country to come together. But I don't know, Mike, if the majority of our country loves our country the way they used to. That's what scares me, right? You look mm-hmm. at these younger generations, my generation included, we're almost taught to just hate the American way, right? And yep. America stinks. It's unfair, you know, inequity, whatever term you want to use. That's not how it was 30 years ago right. or 20 years ago or 100 years ago or 150 years ago, right? There was obviously things like you have the Civil War in the 1860s, 70s, whatever it was.
Yep.
You have moments like that where the country's divided, but everybody loved their country. There was a big difference there. Even when the country was divided years ago, they still were proud to be an American and loved America. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that as much anymore, and that's what scares me, Mike. If an event like this happens, what are we going to do? Well, it was unequal to this person, so we need mm-hmm. the inequity here, so we should give... No, America, right? America together, America as a whole. I just don't know that we have that anymore, and that's what scares me.
Yeah, and that's a great point, and I think, I mean, love for your own country should be kind of the bedrock. I mean, mm-hmm. the foundation, the cornerstone, right? And how you could go around in your own country to find so many hate-filled people. And I guess I'd like to transition to this now, Mike. I mean, you know, you had President Obama, and I had some hope. I didn't vote for him, but I had some hope that he would bring some unity and maybe repair, you know, issues, right? Race-type relations issues. Maybe become almost like a JFK, right? A very youthful, energized president. And what did he do? He started an apology tour, right? I mean, yep. sorry for the United States dominance. Sorry that we're very, you know, nationalistic, that we do believe in freedom and independence for all. Like, I mean, it really was kind of gross and disgusting to hear some of the speeches he'd make, because you'd literally start questioning yourself and your own patriotism, thinking, wait, are we that bad? I thought we were a pretty compassionate country. I mean, we are the world superpower, you know, defending democracy in all corners of the earth, right? And then he starts making you feel that way. And now, Mike, I have what I'd call the topic of cognitive ability crisis in Washington, D.C. I mean, this isn't so much mental health. I don't want people thinking, oh, you're saying that the president has some mental health issue. No, he has cognitive decline issues, and he is not alone. He's not alone. He's in the White House. But right in Congress, you have similar McConnell's. You've got Fetterman. So this isn't even age-related.
Don't forget about Dianne Feinstein, too.
Dianne Feinstein. Yeah. Some of it might be age-related, but nonetheless, this is cognitive ability crisis with a 3 exclamation points right now. And, I mean, here we are. We've got our president overseas at a G20 summit, then on to Vietnam. And he is, Mike, projecting strength and resolve, right? And then he tells the reporters, "Listen, I'm done. I'm going to bed." Yeah. I mean, honestly, what on earth are other world leaders thinking, Mike? Not only the Putins of the world, but also, the German, the French, the English. Like, what could they possibly be thinking right now?
Well, I laugh, too, because Biden's peddlers are like, "Oh, do you see how strong he is? He took a flight overnight. He hasn't slept." Okay. That's the president's freaking job. You chose to do it. I don't want to. I'm not giving you a pat on the back because you got on a plane and went to Vietnam.
He has a bet on the plane too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, come on. I'm not giving you kudos because you got on your plane. You went to the G20 summit that every president in the last however many years has done. I mean, give me a break, right? Number one. Number two, Mike, you look at what happened. I don't know if you remember this when North Korea's president Kim Jong Un, they said, was falling ill. What did they do? Mm-hmm. They kept the man out of public eye because he couldn't be in the public eye,
right?
Because it would show weakness. It would show he was sickly, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. We just throw Joe Biden out there to look like he is, falling apart, and it's sad because guess what? He shouldn't be the president. But that's why countries that want to show strength, like North Korea, were like, we're taking Kim Jong-un out of the picture right now because he is mm-hmm. not feeling well. And I believe that, right? Because you cannot show weakness in this world. You cannot show that your president can't even talk or sit in front of a podium. That shows weakness. And guess what? It shows weakness on the world stage. And guess what? Mm-hmm. The world knows we're weak.
Mike, you wonder then, is it part of a strategy, right? Show that he's weak, show that he's frail, show that he has cognitive ability decline because maybe he can't run against Trump.
And Michelle Obama's the candidate. I'm telling you right now. It's Michelle or Hillary. I'm telling you right now. Yep. Those are the two candidates.
I think there'll be countless appearances by these people, if that's the case.
They're
going to have Trump on?
Well, you know, I think Trump would do it, too.
I know he would.
I think he would.
Well, he would love it.
I think he would.
He would love it.
And I think he'd have a field day there.
That's why they wouldn't do it.
Oh, right. I agree.
They would never do it. So let's move along to other basic insanity, folks. New Mexico governor using a health order, Mike, for temporary gun ban. So I ask, is this supposed to then, have the criminals listen to you, Governor? Are you doing this so that every public area of New Mexico turns into a gun-free zone? And you certainly know that the criminals will not bring their guns into those gun-free zones. Or is this like literally making every citizen of New Mexico a target in some of these soft gun-free zones? Mike, health crisis, health order to ban guns. A constitutional right that people have to defend themselves. So this is the arrogance now, Mike, that we're starting to see.
I can't believe, Mike, that she actually said this. Like I know they talk about it, they joke about it. I shouldn't say they joke. They don't joke. They go behind closed doors and like, we got to mm-hmm. get rid of guns. Like, so this is what we're gonna do. But she actually came out and said it.
Yep.
So I obviously disagree, but I give the lady she's got a set of stones to come out and make 90% of America hate her. And that's what happened because even the liberals went after her, Mike. I don't know if you saw that. Some of the liberals went after her, but I don't know what she was thinking, Mike. I really don't. Maybe she's trying to lose. Maybe to your point about Biden, maybe they're throwing out there. I mean, that was one of the
more. I hate this job. I got to get out of here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable what she did there. I think that's going to backfire if it's me.
Yeah. Well, and she says no constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. So if your oath isn't absolute, are you saying you can do the oath, but it really doesn't need to be followed? I swear to uphold, wait, you said it all, but if things get a little dicey, it's not absolute. I can be a little more flexible. I mean, it really is insane. One of the more prominent people out there, Elon Musk, at risk of stating what should be obvious, deliberately violating the Constitution is next level illegal. How soon can this person be removed from office?
And Mike, I want to stress, New Mexico is very close and on the border. Like, these people need guns. They don't know who's coming across the freaking border down there, right? Like,
she doesn't
of all
even
places,
know her own geography.
Yeah. Like, I get it. You want to play that game. I'm not saying I get it. But, like, Alaska, like, okay, you know, we're talking about, you know, way up there. It's not even close to the border. Illegals probably aren't going. This is on the border. Like illegals are walking over daily. That's terrible. Like, you want guns. You probably want 100 guns.
Oh, my. Listen to this. This is a rationale. This is from Grisham's press secretary, Caroline Sweeney. When New Mexicans are afraid to be in crowds, to take their kids to school, to leave a baseball game, when their very right to exist is threatened by the prospect of violence at every turn, something is very wrong. That is, in fact, where Albuquerque is today. So take away all other free citizens who want to protect themselves and their families. Take away their guns. In case then they are in these situations, they'll have no recourse. They'll literally just die.
Here's
this
my question.
This is absolutely insane.
What are the odds, and I'm going to put them at 99.999%, that she has private security? That she has somebody with a gun next to her, right?
There's
maybe even her
no
husband
question.
She's paying.
Cori Bush.
Yeah, like Cori Bush, right? So, you know, that's the other side of it, too. I'm sure she's well-protected with state police around her all the time and all this other shenanigans. But God forbid, as they call it, the New Mexican that lives down there,
right.
I'm sure they have nothing.
The Cori Bush playbook for security. Hey, first thing is, find a family member. Hey, even maybe a spouse. You can pay that spouse tens and maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to protect you.
It's unbelievable.
Like unreal. This is just unreal. So that's some lunacy. How about some more? Well, let's bring it back into New York State, Mike. New York City, in fact. Mayor Adams, this is what he's now saying. He's saying, there's a financial tsunami coming, Mike. There's a financial tsunami coming because of this illegal immigrant issue that has been thrust upon us. I'm paraphrasing. So now, this dawned on me then. This revelation today, Mike. This is all planned. He accepts these people. He says, we are a safe haven. You know, we're the melting pot, whatever else they say. But it turns into a crisis, and then what do, Mike? You beg for money. You say, oh, my gosh, look at us. We're the compassionate ones taking these people in, but, boy, do we need help. Why do you need help, Mayor Adams? Because you run the city into a spiral, a death spiral, just like every progressive politician. Every Democrat seems to ruin whatever area they preside over. And in New York, of all places, all they have to do is now say, we need billions of dollars for these illegal immigrants. No, you don't need it for that. You need it for all the other progressive welfare policies that you've created. So, Mike, I think this is by design. You know, get more crises into the city and then beg for more money. And, of course, your buddies in Washington, D.C. will probably send it your way.
This whole topic, Mike, drives me nuts because it is the most common sense thing ever, right? Anybody with a brain said, having illegals here, probably not a good idea.
Right.
Tens of thousands of them, really bad idea. Millions of them, really, really bad idea.
And they're not all very nice.
Right, right. As Donald Trump once said, they're not sending their best. You know, look, the fact that these sanctuary cities were so gung-ho about it when it was an Arizona and Texas problem, right? When Governor Abbott had to deal with it, no big deal. And now it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I won't even take a salary. I'll go be the mayor of New York City. I could have said that for 10 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could have said two things that would have solved these problems. Don't defund police. Oh, well, three things. Don't defund police, close the border, and do not take in illegals. Those three things could have been, I could have said that for free. You don't even have to pay me, New York. Mm-hmm. I'll say it for free. I'll deal with it for free. But we can't do that. Our leaders can't do that. And then it's like, oh, poor me. This stinks. Well, yeah, it does. And it's your fault, right? Mm-hmm. Like Mark Poloncarz here. Should we take illegals from New York City? The answer should have been in 5 seconds. Absolutely not. That should have been your answer, Mark. It's very simple. We do not want people who we don't know here. I don't care if they're vetted. I don't care if they're disease-free. They should not be here, right? Simple as that. Done. But we can't do that.
We can't do that. And then
our leaders can't do it.
Then the New York City problem becomes every county of New York's problem. And then you have county executives like Mark Poloncarz who cannot possibly stand up for the people that he actually presides over, right? All of us. He can't possibly do that in the name of common sense and for our safety. And what happens? These people end up in our communities raping people in front of those people's children. That's what we end up with here in Erie County and across many, many other counties of New York State.
And I just want to say, Mike, let's not forget, folks, we know what's going on in Buffalo because we're here, right? People in Rochester, I'm sure you've heard what things happening here. This is one small county in the United States, in the Northeast.
Right.
And we're seeing two sexual assaults, multiple other assaults, destruction of hotels and motels. Right. I mean, this is within a month in small little Buffalo, New York. Imagine this on a full scale across the country.
This is a microcosm of the things that we've talked to Sheriff Mark Daniels about right there at the Arizona-Mexico border. I mean, this is what he sees in his community every day, every hour, and we've only experienced a little spoonful. And look at how upsetting and disturbing it became. And that's what happens, though. Progressive leaders, they think, be compassionate. You're being as far from compassionate as you could possibly be. You're not helping and serving the people who actually live here, who live here legally, who need safe schools and safe playgrounds, and they want their hotels to be used for people actually coming into the town to visit us, not for the illegal immigrants. Unreal.
I'm not usually speechless. You and I both don't have this problem. All we do all day is talk, right?
Right.
Between our media stuff we do together and then our jobs, we talk to people, clients all day long. Some of this stuff, like, I'm almost speechless. Like, I can't just keep yelling about it anymore. And it's that feeling of like, ugh, God, here we go again. Right. But like, that's what it feels like. It's just a never ending cycle of like disappointment because it's, and again, like, it's the simple, like, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4, right? We should have borders. We should have police.
Mm-hmm.
We should care about America first, right? Like, these are just things. Hey, we should arrest criminals. Hey, we should not force vaccinations on people.
Right.
Right. Like, these things, like, hey, we shouldn't shut the country down for a flu. These are just simple things that our country is just failing. And again, like we've said this before, too, it feels deliberate. Right.
Yep.
It feels like that's all it can be at this point is deliberate. You can't possibly screw this up anymore without doing it purposely.
Absolutely. And because I am the glasses half full guy, right?
Especially on this show these days.
Optimistic. I think it's for self-survival, actually, my optimism. I don't know how you can carry on throughout a day if you don't have some sense of hope or some sense of, I don't know, peace, something will change. You know, we can be all part of that change.
Yep.
So let's go to a common sense narrative, and this is fun. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Buffalo Bills. Down in Florida, Dr. Joseph Ladapo, Florida's state surgeon general, advised people to steer clear of the updated booster vaccine, Mike. So you know what? He basically, I think, says some things that are common sense. There's been no clinical trial showing that it is a safe product for people. And not only that, there are a lot of red flags. He's basically saying, listen, do your research. Listen to your doctors. This is a personal decision. But kudos to this guy, of course, out of the state of Florida, saying, listen, the booster, it is likely not necessary for many, many, many of you, maybe some of you who feel more vulnerable, consider it. But there are red flags. So kudos to this guy for having some common sense, Mike.
Yeah. You know, again, I've said this too. Like, I don't pass judgment on people, Mike, that want to get their boosters or their shots. That's your opinion. That's your body. That's your choice. It's not mine. Okay. So if you want to get, you know, 1,000 booster shots, you go get it. If you want to get the original COVID vaccine, you go get it. I don't really care, but stop talking to me about it. That's the biggest thing, Mike. And I think we need more people like this. Here's the side effects. Here's what can happen. If you want it, take it. If you don't, don't. Like, that's what we need. That's what America needs.
Every decision that you make, Mike, in your job, in your personal life, probably as a married guy, you always go through the pros and the cons,
yep.
right? What's the pro of hiring someone new? Well, what are the cons of hiring someone new?
Yep.
What about in our personal life? Hey, honey, why don't we consider moving? Let's get a bigger house. What are the pros and cons mm-hmm. of doing that?
Yep.
You don't just say, hey, here's a vaccine. Everybody take it. We don't care what your health situation is. Everybody line up, put your arms out, and get the jab. That's not how it's supposed to work, especially in science, Mike, right? In medicine and science, that's like the last thing you should do is just say, everyone line up, do it because he said so, because Dr. Fauci said so, because Biden said so. That is not by any means the way it was supposed to
work. I saw Dr. Fauci on TV the other day. I'm like, why are you still on my television? Like, where
he's got a punchable face, doesn't he?
He does. And the thing is, look, let's just go back for a quick second, and then we'll go to the Bills. But they told us that 6 feet was enough to not get sick.
Right.
Then they told us you couldn't stand at a bar. You had to sit. Right. Then they told us you had to mask everywhere.
Right.
Right. Then they told you got to get vaccine. If you get the vaccine, you can't spread it and you can't get sick. I mean, everything from start to finish was total bull,
right.
Like total bull across right. the board. And again, these people walked away. Mike, Dr. Fauci, no problem. He walks away. No big deal.
No sweat.
No nothing for him. No, nope. No four indictments for Donald Trump. Not for Tony Fauci.
No
he's fine.
Problem.
He's fine.
Millions coming my
yep.
way.
Yeah.
Book deals, you know,
yep.
speeches
yep.
till I pass.
Yeah.
All right, so for some fun, let's hope we hear this a lot tonight.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
Kick your heels up and
shout.
Throw your hands up and
shout.
Throw your head back and
shout.
Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
You got your Bills shirt on, too.
I know.
Yeah. Now come on.
Oh, I love
shout.
This shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love the Bills colors, you know, very patriotic. Yeah. I can't help but think of Marv Levy every time I hear that song. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Not that I remember the song with him on the sideline. I wouldn't say that. But
yeah.
I always just think of him and, I don't know, a decent guy.
Yeah.
He always just came across so well spoken, so mm-hmm. articulate. What a master of language and all that. And I always think of him. I don't know why.
I you know, it's funny. I going to so many games as a kid, I just like that the Bills Stadium, obviously that's where the song plays, but like just going to games and watching them struggle for so many years and getting so excited when mm-hmm. they'd win like 8 games.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you had the Super Bowl years. I was like 1 year old when that was going on. So this, yeah. like the Bills being good, I remember a couple of years ago, that first season when Josh Allen really took off,
mm-hmm.
and the COVID year, actually. And I was like, I don't know what this feels like. This feels
what
really
am I, what
weird.
What am I to make of this?
Like they won 10, 12, 13 games?
Yeah.
Like what is going on here? But it has been, I know they've had their ups and downs in the playoffs, but it has been an enjoyable ride, and hopefully Josh Allen can take them
mm-hmm.
to the promised land with Sean McDermott this year. I always, this is where I am an optimist, my political life now, mm-hmm. I'm a pessimist, but in sports with the Bills,
yeah.
I think they have a very good chance to be good this year. Tough schedule, but I think they have a great quarterback and a great chance to win.
Yeah. It's interesting because they were a really big Super Bowl favorite last year,
yeah.
like to make the Super
yeah.
Bowl and then to win the Super Bowl,
yeah.
and things did not go well.
No,
at least they ended poorly. And
yeah.
And here I kind of entered the off season, which I always would joke and say, oh my gosh, I can't wait for the Bills off season. I can't wait for the Sabres off season. That's when the fun is. That's when we find out, well, we were so bad, so what kind of draft choice do we get?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, what free agents might consider Buffalo to come to and you know, continue their professional careers. But that's not the case now. Now the actual season is the exciting part, but not being the favorites this year. I'm just hoping, knock on wood, maybe this is the secret. Don't go into the season the overwhelming favorite.
No, and I think that is a good thing. And I think there's a lot of people saying the Bills won't make the playoffs and all these other things because the conference is so hard. And that's good. I think sometimes when you're really good and the pressure's on, you kind of crumble a little bit. I think it'll
yep.
be a good thing for them to have the world saying you guys stink again. Not that they stink, but that you're right. not going to make the playoffs and whatnot. So I think that'll be... That'll be good. Obviously, like we said, we're recording this on 9/11, so hopefully tomorrow when you're listening to this, they're 1-0 and they look good and there's no stress.
Yep. And we actually started the podcast talking about 9/11 and how it really seemed to bring the country together. I know that the Buffalo Bills, across the country, if you're a Bills fan, it does bring us all together in kind of a common purpose. Go Bills. Bills against the New York Jets tonight, September 11th in New Jersey.
Which will be emotional, I'm sure, by the way, in New York City for that one.
Tremendous.
That's a big one.
They do a great, great job, the NFL, in in the you know, the presentation of their sport. And yeah, I totally agree. I'm really looking forward to that. So be safe too, folks. Don't go out drinking like 16 beers and think that you can get behind the wheel. How about you be smart? Use the Lyft, the Uber, use your friends, your family to get you to and from that place of fun. All right. I guess that's going to do it, Mike. Don't forget, folks, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:15 to 8:30, morning mics, 5 topics, 3 minutes each. Definitely a rapid fire. We get buzzed if we're too slow. And then, of course, this podcast Tuesday, Mike and Glenn on Wednesday, and Mike Spiraza with a special guest. Always a great interview on Thursdays. Thanks for joining us, folks. For Mike Spiraza, I'm Mike Hayflick. Come back next week.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys, LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.